It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. This is Friday. This is Friday the 30th, yes. And we're almost finished with 2022. Our worship is about to begin, and we are going to have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for bringing us through this year. We pray that you will bless us as we seek your face, do your will, and just live for you. Thank you for being such a wonderful God who leads and guides us and gives us turn-by-turn directions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, God is wonderful, isn't he? We're going now to our opening song, and it is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming. It's about time, oh Christian, it's about time, it's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
overworking for your God. Overworking for your God is our topic for today, my brothers and sisters, and we are going to go to Exodus chapter 18 at this time. Exodus chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And if not, we are going to be reading it to you. Exodus chapter 18. All right, the Bible says, when Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. Now, friends, he heard of what God had done. And so he said, let me take and this my son-in-law's wife, which is my daughter, and his two sons. You know, this shows how God is not immune to the need that we have for fellowship and companionship and love. And though Moses had done a great work and it was so much of a stress, God is so wonderful. When we love him and we put our hearts in his hand, he previews everything. We're told that. And he decides how much we can handle based on our frame. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Everybody does not get the same level of temptations. Everybody doesn't get the same level of trial. Everybody can handle it. And when you study counsel regarding Zipporah, she was of a very sensitive nature. I mean, she might not have been able to see Pharaoh and his host coming out of the water. She just might not have been able to see death and handle it well. Some people are very sensitive to certain things. And she was one of these, precious soul. And Moses sent her back because he knew there would be a lot of things that she might not be able to handle. By this time, they had had that one battle. So there was bloodshed. Remember, Moses' hands had to be held up in the previous chapter. She couldn't handle those things. God is so merciful. He's so kind. And he knows what our limit is. And he's just, I love him for that. And I love the fact that it's not all about just working for the Lord, working for the Lord. We have family. We have people in our lives. And God wants those relationships to be nurtured. Okay? So this is a beautiful thing. Notice Jethro saw what God had done. You know, friends, when we see what God has done in someone's life or in someone's ministry or whatever, we should be there to encourage them. We should try to give them a call of encouragement, not flattery. This was not flattery, my brothers and sisters. We should go where God is moving. We should go where God is and lend a helping hand. That's what Jethro did. He went where God was working to lend a helping hand. We end up lending helping hands oftentimes to the devil and to his work and his plans, and we give time that could be used for people to help people that are doing God's work, and we give it to people and that are not doing God's work. And I'm not suggesting we not help those who are less fortunate. I'm just talking about sometimes things that are ending up a waste of time and a waste of energy and a waste of resources, we put where God is not markedly working. So let's just be prayerful about the time, talent, money, and all that we have, and let's use it to the glory of God. Verse 4, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father said he was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Verse 5, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and thy two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. You know, this is beautiful. This is his father-in-law. This would be his elder. And he came and gave a salute of respect. Now, Moses was leader of over 1 million people, you know, and yet he showed respect to his elder. My friends, no matter what God does for you, no matter how high of a position you have, you need to follow biblical principles. You can have a very, very high position, and God still wants us to show respect to the elderly among us, mothers in Israel, fathers in Israel. We should show respect to them, even if you're the pastor, even if you're the head elder. We have gone away from God's principles. We ought to take care of those who are elderly, my brothers and sisters. Now, some of you all feel, man, I guess I'm one of those elderly people. I don't feel like I'm elderly. If you don't feel like you're elderly, praise God. But if you're over, I can't say this is biblical, but in the world today, if you're over 65, you're in that category. I'm not even going to say the word. You're in that category. But the point I'm making is we should at all times be willing. And watch this. Jethro was older, obviously, but he was showing a show of respect to say, hey, I see God working in your life, and I just want to encourage you. Okay? That's a beautiful thing. We can encourage one another. Those who are older, those who are younger, we are to work together for God's cause. All right. It says, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. You see, my brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful to give God all the praise. We don't deserve any praise, even if we accomplish something great. It is by God's grace that we accomplish anything. Every good gift comes from above, from the Father of light, wherein is no shadow of turning. My brothers and sisters, we sometimes like to take glory. You know, you've got people saying, I'm the best president. I'm greater than Lincoln. I'm greater than George Washington. That's not the spirit of God, my friend. And we do the same thing in the church. We just talk about how great we are and what we've accomplished and what we do, okay? And I'm not politically polarized. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm just saying these things are public. They're out there, you know, that type of thing. So the point being made is, you have people on all sides of the aisle just talking about themselves and their accomplishments, and it's wrong. If you did anything good, it was because God was with you. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if you've been watching television, there's long lines of migrants, coming to the border. And you've got different political views on that. But I'm just saying, imagine every day, all day, from morning until night, a line of people coming to tell you their grievance, their problem, their situation. And one man is answering all of these things. Okay? That is what was happening. And when Moses father, we're talking about overworking for your God. Okay? Moses had a good motive, and many of us have good motives, but we don't understand that the Bible is God is a balanced God, and that he has the best, they call them in the world, best practices for doing things. And we sometimes use our own practices to do God's work, and we end up going to an early grave, my brothers and sisters, because we're not wise in how we conduct God's business. So God wants us to be wise in how we conduct his business. He wants us to have work for the people that the people may help so that God's work can get done, brothers and sisters. This is what it's all about. All of us have something we can do for God, and it's not one person's job. It's not the pastor's job to do everything. The pastor's job is to just make sure that as a shepherd, things are spiritual and that he provides opportunities for the people to work for the Lord, my friends. It's a privilege to work for the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. And Moses was doing everything. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest unto the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "Look at watch this. This thing that thou doest is not good." You see, some of us are so hard-headed because we're telling people the word of God, even though we're doing it instead of training others. We would think somebody would be blasphemous when they say, "What you're doing is not good." What do you mean? I'm telling people the word of God. What's wrong with you? I'm talking about God. Yes, but you should be training others to talk about God so that you don't have to talk about God by yourself. You see? And so we can not be wise in how we execute God's work. And the people suffered. Moses suffered. God's cause suffers, friends. And see, we sometimes have this mindset that nobody can do it as good as me. And so we tend to just try to do everything on our own, my friends. And I'm here to tell you that's not the way to do it. My job is not to do everything. My job is to train others so that we can all work together for God. And my job is to be trained. Somebody can train me in some areas. You know, friends, this is very, very important. Now, we have to sometimes, especially in self-supporting work, we've got to learn and wear many hats, and we have to do some things because it's the truth. Unfortunately, 10% of the people do 90% of the work in the church. However, friends, sometimes that's because people aren't encouraged. They're not trained. They're not given an opportunity. I'm not going to let you do it because you won't do it as good as I would do it. Yeah, but if you train them, they may end up doing it better than you're doing it. But they've got to start somewhere. And so we have to have this mindset of bringing people along and lifting people up and getting people involved in the work and not doing everything ourselves, my friends. That's biblical. This is God's way of teaching us how to do his work. "Hearken now unto my voice," he said. Well, let me just go back. "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, for thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." So he's saying, look, the people are going to be worn out from morning till night, and you're going to be worn out. This is not the right way to do God's work. "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, as thou mayest bring the causes unto God." In other words, you are in what you've got here with 1 million-plus people. You need to just be on a higher level of administration. And when there's some situations where you just need to go talk to God about something, you're there, and the people understand that you'll bring the hard cases to God. But they have godly people among them who can be honest and who would never take a bribe, and they can lead, and they know the principles, and you can share some with them that they may not know, and they can help in this way, and everybody's happy. That's what Jethro was saying. "Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens." A lot of wonderful lessons here. Friends, sometimes it's a group of 10 people and everybody wants to be the boss. If you've only got 10 people, here's a biblical principle. You probably only need one leader. It's when you have groups of 10 that you might need to split off. So, friends, if it's just 10 of you, I'm telling you, it probably doesn't work well for there to be more than one leader, okay? There's one leader when there's 10, okay? That's biblical. And then when you end up with 30, you might want to split up and have some other companies, other small churches or other small groups or whatever, okay? But then as people are organized, maybe you might recognize, hey, we need to stay together, and when we get to 50, we may need to appoint someone to kind of look out for the whole group, so to speak, as we deal with this 50 now that we have, you see. And so God is able, my friends, to do these things and give us this wonderful counsel. "And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter," that, hey, this is a little too much, we better pass this on. So it doesn't say it, but I believe that the captives over 10 would pass on their challenge that they could not answer to the captain over 50, because the man who's sitting over 50, he's got to hear from the captains over 10, okay? The captains over 50, when they had a problem, there was somebody appointed as a captain over, let's get it right, hundreds, okay? Right? Captains over hundreds, right? So I'm not sure if that was, so if I was a captain over hundreds, then there may be several groups of 50s, and I could be one of several that I'm available as one of the captains. It's almost like you have some senior advisors that are over customer service, and it's more than one of them. And when you got a problem, hey, I got to pass this on to one of the senior advisors, so you figure out, find out which one is available. It could have been like that. It might be not so much that it would just be one person over 250s, but that would work too. That's 100 people, friends. That's a lot, okay? So, and then you had captains over 1,000. So as people grew in their knowledge base and their responsibilities, they proved to be wise, then they would be captains over 1,000. And even if 1,000 had 10 groups of 100, that's a lot of people. That's 1,000 people, friends. So, and then it went on. Let me see if there was another designation. No, there was thousands, hundreds, 50s, 10s, okay? And so once you got to the captains over thousands, if it was more than they could handle, they brought it to Moses. So imagine how much less work in that department Moses had. He had more time to commune with God, to teach the principles that everybody can learn the principles. It was just a better plan. So Moses stopped overworking for his God, and he began to be more balanced in his life, be able to spend time with his family and teach the people, and everybody benefited from this plan. Thou shalt do this thing, and God, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a powerful principle. Jethro knew he gave Moses wise counsel, but notice how humble he was. He said, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so. This is powerful, because when somebody tells you to do something, you should still take it to the Lord. And the person who's telling you to do it should understand that you should take it to the Lord. So I'm telling you, I already know what you should do. Here I am, I've been doing this for 50 years. I already know what you should do. But I'm telling you what you should do, and I want you to take it to the Lord. That's a beautiful concept, brothers and sisters. Some people get mad. He didn't follow my counsel. I tried to tell him, and he didn't follow my counsel. Who are you? They have to answer to God in the end. So you just tell them and encourage them to go to God, and God will confirm it if they're walking with the Lord. And if they're not walking with the Lord, they're not going to do it anyway. And so we need to get rid of all this religious pride that we sometimes have, brothers and sisters. Somebody doesn't follow our counsel, we get all mad. Stop getting mad. Give them the counsel. Tell them to go to God. God will confirm it. And that's how we should operate. It's a beautiful concept. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over all the, over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought into Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Praise God. You know, when you have that kind of system, it allows even people to counsel together. I don't believe that every captain over, like let's say if a captain over 1,000 got something that he hadn't dealt with before. Before he went to Moses, he could go to a few other captains of 1,000. Listen, I just had this. You ever dealt with this one? Then he said, yeah, I dealt with that one. This is how Moses dealt with it. You see? And so the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that we can operate and work for God in ways without killing ourselves. We often overwork for the Lord. And maybe it's not in this way where you're a boss, but there's probably something you're doing. You might be overdoing it when somebody else could be helping. You could be, a lot of times, we don't train our children. We try to do everything for them, and we spoil them. those children are old enough they could be helping with the dishes, and you're all sick and convoluted and messed up because you're doing everything, and your children are sitting there watching video games. Shame on you, brothers and sisters. Get them up. Let them learn how to wash some dishes and cut some grass and those types of things. It's good for them. They need to learn because they're going to grow up one day, and they need these responsibilities that they know how to take care of a house. You're crippling them by spoiling them. So there's many ways of approaching this subject, friends. Let's not overwork for our God. Let's work wisely and let his biblical principles teach us how to operate in our daily life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful practical counsel. Thank you for the praise and honor that was given to you because of what you had done for Israel with the Egyptians. Thank you that you taught us that close family ties are important, and that when the war and fighting had come to a pause, that Moses was able to spend time with his family. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us now as we in worship and transition to wellness, where we will talk about don't overeat for your God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now to transition. We do so with the Torso Song, and we're going to take about an 8-minute intermission, and we will be back in a little while.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, my friends, we're having wellness. We talked about in worship overworking for your God, and with the story of in Exodus, Exodus chapter 18, where Moses was overworking instead of giving other people training that they might help him, and his father-in-law Jethro taught him to do it differently, and everybody was happy. Now we're talking about overeating for your God. What kind of God are we talking about overeating for? Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So we're talking about overeating today. You know, God is a God of temperance. Whatever we do that is good, we should do it in moderation. That means eating is good, but overeating is bad. We should not eat too much, friends. And when you overeat even of healthy foods, and often the food is not healthy, but even of healthy foods, the stomach can only take so much that it can properly handle. It can actually hold more than it can properly handle, but it can only properly handle a certain amount. So when you overeat, you overburden the stomach, friends, it's just too much, and food gets undigested. And a lot of this undigested food is what causes a lot of the toxins, a lot of the acids, a lot of the problems in our gut, in our system. And so it leads to conditions like arthritis and diabetes and hypertension, because it produces a lot of acids, and other foods aren't properly digested, fats and other things, because it's just too much. And so you should sit down at the table, and you should not feel stuffed when you get out. You should be satisfied. I've had enough to eat. I'm not hungry, but I should not be just stuffed where you have to, if you have to unbutton the buckle, you know, and look around. If nobody's around, then you just undo the skirt or the pants because the stomach is just so tight. Or you say, well, let me just go get in my bed clothes because it's just my clothes are just too tight. Now, sometimes we just might be wearing too tight. They were too tight before you sat down to eat. But I'm just talking about if they were all right and then the stomach is just so full and you're just groggy and tired, you've got to go to sleep. That's not good, friends. You should actually get up and go for a little stroll, a little walk, not go to sleep right after a meal. And so these are some wonderful principles that will add years to your life, and they're simple principles. The live-free lifestyle, my friends, can be lived by everyone. It is not hard. We just have learned wrong, and this is one of the principles that God has given, especially in this holiday season. You know, we tend to go back and get that second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth dessert, eating all times of day and night, although that's not our topic. But let's just make sure when we sit down to eat that we're not overeating. All right, friends, roll call time. We have representation from, I'm not sure, I believe, Maryland. We have, this is a Facebook, Maryland, I believe. We have Pennsylvania. We have South Carolina. And we have Virginia on Facebook. God bless each one of you. And on the call, and if I've missed something, because there is a sister, I'm not sure where she lives. She may have moved. If just type in what state or what country you're in, actually. And at this time, we're going to go to the phone line. And we have Georgia, we have South Carolina, we have Ohio, we have Oklahoma, we have Ohio again, we have Delaware, we have Maryland, we have Maryland again, we have Alabama, and we have Ohio again. God bless each one of you. It's time now to open the phone lines. If anyone has any comment or question, testimony, anything you want to share as we are wrapping up 2022. Please feel free to do so. Just press star 6, and if you'd like to make a comment that we can read to answer or to acknowledge, just go ahead and type that in Facebook in the comments. The phones are open. It is your time at this time, my brothers and sisters. All right, we've got Sister Odessa on the line, and we're going to go ahead and take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Pastor. God bless you. Pastor, I'm with one of friend in Shawnee, Oklahoma, so I want her to give a question this morning or an answer.
Sure.
Good morning, everyone. I've been knowing this lady for a long time, and I've been hearing her talk of this program for, it's a shame to say, for several years. But God has given me time, and today was the time, and it's locked in now. I was so blessed, and that was really good. But I have a question, and thank you for your ministry, you and your wife. The question I have is health, real quick. I'm a vegetarian, and I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years, and I'm a total vegan, maybe about 5, I guess. But okay. I still have high cholesterol. Do you know why? And what could help that?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I don't want to ask you any questions that you might not want to answer on the air, but I'm going to give you some concepts. If you want to say some things, that's fine. But you can also give us a call afterwards if you want to talk more personal. But and that doesn't cost you anything, by the way. So, but what I would say is a lot of times when we're totally plant-based and our cholesterol is high, our sugar intake may be too high, because when you eat too many sweets, you know, we have that sweet tooth sometimes. I do too, and I have to watch it. It can raise the cholesterol. Also, when you're under a lot of stress, okay, you're under a lot of stress, your cholesterol can be elevated as well. So we just want to mention those two things.
Okay.
That may not be the only thing, but just to say, hey, those would be my top two, And then if we want to talk further, Sister Odessa can give you my number. I'll give it to you, but I'll announce it. It's 706-897-8537. But you're more than welcome to give us a call, and we can walk you through some things. You know, the body makes its own cholesterol. You already know that probably. And so any cholesterol we get from animals is too much cholesterol, which you are not doing that now. But sometimes the body's just under a lot of stress. And when the body's under stress, it produces more cholesterol. Now, sometimes that stress may not always be emotional stress. It could be physical stress. It could be, like, let's just say we talked about overworking. When the body is going through metabolic stress, just the stress of operating as a human body, it's still stress, and the body treats it as though you are attacked by a burglar. You know, that stress level, it doesn't happen emotionally, but it can still happen physically. And so it will produce more cholesterol, because cholesterol is a bandaging agent. So when we are getting ready to fight or flight or flee, the fight or flight mechanism, you might have some lacerations if you were fighting a dog, a tiger, or whatever. So cholesterol is just there to help, you know, bandage up vessels and things like this. So just we have to look at the stress that we might be under that we might not even realize. It may not even be emotional. It could be environmental, some things going on in our lives and our health and so on and so forth. So those would be my thoughts to leave with you. If you want to share some things, that's fine, but we don't ask personal questions on the air.
Okay, well, my closing, I really appreciate that. And I definitely will be leaning for stress instead of the sugars, because I try to watch that too. And, yeah, I do love sugars too, but anyway. So thank you so much. That was really insightful. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
Thanks, Pastor. God bless you all.
God bless you too, Sister Odessa. And, friends, just so you know, you can be anonymous. You don't have to give your name. Some of us have been together for a while, and we go by our first names. But if you want to share something, we will generally not call your name. Now, we've messed up sometime, but we generally leave it unless you tell us to announce your name. We don't do that. So some people, we just don't want you not to speak and not to ask a question because you don't want to be identified. So we don't do that. Now, those on Facebook, anybody on Facebook, may be able to see your name. I'm thinking they can see your name if you type the comment, so just be aware of that. But nonetheless, friends, what can we answer? Is there another question that we might be able to answer? Is there anyone else we can help? Is there anything we can do for anyone? If there's someone who has a testimony, a question, a prayer request, please feel free to respond at this time. All right. Well, to God be the glory. Thank you all for joining us. We will be for our, you might say, New Year's Eve time. We're spending that with Save to Serve probably on tomorrow. We'll announce that. But you can go to Prophesy again, and I think it's at 5 or 5:30. I've heard two times, so I just want to mention both of them. But I believe it's 5:30. And my brother is actually, they're doing a musical. And my brother is singing. My nephew is singing. Somebody on the Facebook who's from Springfield, Illinois, you might want to join into that. That's on Friday. I mean, that's on Saturday afternoon at 5:30. And so that's where we're going to be, just sitting in our home and joining them for their testimony and praise and whatever they do. I know it's music and poetry, from what I understand. I would have loved to have been there personally. And they wanted us to be there, but we just couldn't swing it. God is good. We're going to go ahead and close out at this time, but we will be having our worship on the Zoom call on tomorrow. We will have our morning worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast where we are. So on tomorrow, I'll announce for anyone who doesn't have it our Zoom credentials. And if you have WhatsApp, let me know, and I would give you you'll get those announcements on WhatsApp. All right, my friends, God is good. Let's have prayer. And my dear wife sends her regards to you as well. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for loving us the way you do. We ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us and to bless us and to guide us. And we pray, Lord, that you will be to us that source of strength that we need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, God is good. we're going to close out at this time, and we'll do so with the closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.